I've chosen for today the 64th Psalm. Like other Mizmorei Tehillim, this one too deals with the problem of the innocent being persecuted. But given the fact of what David's life was like, and also given the fact of what our history has been like, this bears looking at again. Again, what we're dealing with is the Rasha as opposed to the innocent. He may not be such a complete tzaddik, but he doesn't seem to be somebody who deserves what's happening to him. A rather short one compared to what we've been dealing with recently, 11 verses. And again, while not necessarily coming with any great chidushim, there is something absolutely sublime in the poetry in this case, at least in my opinion, for what it's worth. L'mnaseach mizmor le-David. Shema Elokim koli besichi. Mipachad oyev titzor chayai. Shema Elokim, please God, listen. Koli besichi. To my voice. Betzichi, as I speak. Well, what are you trying to say, that as I speak? So first of all, you need to understand what the word siach is. And Rabbi Shimshon Refai Hirsch does a great job in explaining how the word lasuach basadeh, as Yitzchak goes out to pray, Rashi says, it is a form of prayer in which you do not necessarily ask for anything in particular, nor are you necessarily praising anything in particular. But as the word is used in modern Hebrew, it's called conversation. Now, conversation is not functional speech. Functional speech is, go get me a cup of coffee. I'm telling you to do something, and I want something specific, and I'm asking you for it. Functional speech has a direct purpose. Siach is what we say in Yiddish, zu upretten sich der Herz, to do nothing more than bespeak one's thoughts and feelings. Now, ladies, we all know all about this, don't we? That's what you need a good girlfriend for. You know, when you're going for a coffee clutch, it's not necessarily to talk about somebody else. It's not in order to come out there with a conclusion or a decision. It is to do nothing more than to take that mishmash of what's happening inside your mind and your heart and your feelings and give them voice. And so this type of prayer is one in which one is talking to God as an intimate. I'm just telling you about how I feel. I'm talking to you about my fears. I'm talking to you about my thoughts, my impressions. That's siach. Very different from our notion of when you pray, as if the word prayer usually means I'm asking for something specific. And I'm asking God that as I converse with you, I want you to hear koli, my voice. I don't have to tell you about how important it is to feel that one is heard. That one has somebody who's listening, paying attention, focusing on them. And that is his relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And what is my siach? What is it that I am disturbed by? This is coming out of pachad oyev, the fear of the enemy. Please God, titzor chayai. Titzor, if you look, there's a dagesh in the tzadi. It means that the letter is missing. And it comes from the word lintzor, which means to safeguard. Save my life. Protect my life from the fear of the oyev. Please notice, it's not from the oyev, it's from the fear of the oyev. There is an issue about what the oyev might do to me, but the worst of it is living in this constant fear. Do I need to tell you about what we're all going through nowadays? It is perhaps the most dangerous part of our lives is not the disease, but the fear of the disease. Or in the words of Roosevelt, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. And what is the danger here? And what are we talking about here? Is there somebody here who is going to actually kill him? Or is this really a different kind of a death? And that is the death of libel. The death of being maligned. The death that occurs only after somebody has been besmirched and defamed. Tastireni misod mireim. Hide me from the secret plot of the mireim, those who would do evil, those who look to destroy. Mirikshat po'alei aven. And regesh in modern Hebrew is a feeling. But maim rokshim means the waters that are roiling, waters that are rushing. There is a storm going on by po'alei aven, those who would do aven. In the past, I told you that the word aven is not the same thing as avon with ayin, but comes rather from the word ein, a no-no. People who do things that are no-nos, that are morally inappropriate, and they are sometimes under the radar. They don't necessarily go out there and shoot somebody. It is enough to kill their character. It's enough to destroy their name. And that is not so easily, if you like, adjudicated or prosecuted through the normal channels. God save me from all of these secret plots that are undergoing. And those plots are to delegitimize. What are we talking about? Is this about David himself? Well, according to some, exactly that. And that's what Radak tells us. He says, Radak tells us that this is David's feelings, so much of his life, in which every attempt was made to delegitimize him. He's not really Jewish, he comes from Rut. He is a rebellious person against the king, etc., etc., etc. Everything was done to besmirch him all along his life. And he constantly needs to prove his and legitimize himself. Sfono thinks this is about Esther HaMalka. In the court of Ahasuerus, in Persia and Medea, in which there is a secret plot going on, and we know that that was ultimately going to lead to genocide. But before there is genocide, there is the besmirching of Am Yisrael. And so he sees this as all appropriate to what leads up to genocide. So I want you to think of Germany, 1933, 1934, etc., until the Anschluss, way before the ghettos, way before the concentration camps. What leads up to that is the danger that we're facing here. Rashi and Metsudat David describe this based on a medrash, namely, that this is about Daniel. Daniel in Babel, where he is maligned, and you remember he's later on thrown into the pit with the lions. Think of it in those terms. Malbim, he thinks this is all about Doeg. You remember Doeg last time? Doeg Ha'edomi, and everything that was done behind the scenes to destroy all of David's supporters. Does it have to be one or the other? In fact, what it really is by being vague, it tells you that history keeps repeating itself. This is happening on the individual level as well as on the national level. And if you've heard Farrakhan's speeches, if you've heard some of the stuff coming out of the Black Lives Matter, if you've heard about things that are going out in the EU or under BDS movement, you understand that this is happening in our own time, in our own days. This is no longer history. This is current events. Oy, Rebbeinu Shalom, listen to what's going on. Hear what's happening. Look at the plots that are going on underneath the radar right now. And actually not so much on the radar. Asher shanenu kicherev lishonam. You've seen this before. They have sharpened their tongues like a sword. And you see that this is about lashon hara. This is about libel. blood libels. Oh, don't you know? COVID is caused by Zionists, among other things, right? And as insane as all this may sound, that insanity has now become acceptable again. Darchu chitzam. They have aimed and drawn their arrows, aiming to shoot. That's what they're looking for. Davar mal, a bitter thing. What is davar mal? According to some, the arrows are dipped in something bitter. In other words, poison arrows. According to others, dalchu chitzam, they have aimed, drawn their bows, and aiming their arrows. Ah, it's a bitter thing indeed. Lirot, so that they can shoot, b'mistarim, hiding. You see, nobody ever admits to this. This is all being done under the radar, through the media. Nobody quite claims this. Bamistarim, in hiding, in order to shoot the tam. Ish tam. We know that Yaakov was called an ish tam. And in Yiddish, the word tamerate. When we think about somebody innocent, not merely because he has not committed any crime, but because sometimes he's a little too naive, too trusting, and doesn't recognize when somebody is actually aiming and ambushing, trying to harm him. Pit'om yorehu. Suddenly they will shoot him. Ve'lo yirau. And they have no fear. Yorehu yirahu. Do you understand why I told you how beautiful this is? Look at this. Shaninu. Leshonam. This entire mizmor is filled with alliteration. You see, rhyming in Hebrew is no big deal. It is very easy to rhyme. You could say, amarta, yashafta, halachta. You understand, everything will rhyme. It's no big deal. Instead, what your Hebrew poet loves to do is play on double entendres and play on what they call lashon nofel al lashon, which otherwise is called alliteration and an assonance. Asher shaninu leshonam. Now I want to explain why that would be so important. Shinaim is teeth. Leshanen v'shinantam levanecha is to say over and over again. It comes from the same root as the word shnaim, two. Because teeth come in couples. You see, you've got two of each on each side. Leshanen is to make something sharp. I just told you that. Vishinantam levanecha, when you speak over and over and over again, you say it again and again and again, it becomes, as it were, sharpened. It becomes part of who you are and clearer in your mind. To speak of leshonam, tongue, and shanenu, all together becomes an image very much like, as I already told you in the past, the Nahash, the snake, who uses his tongue to sense with, but who actually ends up biting you with his teeth and putting poison in it. So there's a play here on this and trying to draw this type of imagery. And you know full well how the snake strikes suddenly and lays in ambush for its prey. Yorehu, they will suddenly shoot him. Velo yirau, and they do not fear. You can't miss that sound. To shoot and have no fear. Considering the fact that there were how many deaths and how many shootings this past weekend in Chicago, and there is no fear of any consequences, complete sense of impunity, you can do whatever you want. Now, he is speaking here not only about actually open violence, but more importantly, the violence of the tongue. And they can shoot and have no fear. You put out these words, you have it out there, and it's okay. Because while God forbid you should use an N-word, you can do anything today about speaking against Jews, about speaking against Zionism, against Israel. That's acceptable. They don't have to fear anymore. At best, what do? You apologize, and good Shabbos, everything is fine. And because they're not afraid, and they don't need to be afraid, there are no consequences to their language, they become even stronger to do something worse. Hitler put it very well. What happened to the Armenians? What was the impact of the world when the Turks killed 2 million Armenian Christians? Not a thing was done. So he tested the waters and wanted to see what would happen. Nothing happened. Since nothing happened, he says, don't worry. We'll try some things. We'll see what occurs. And that gave him even more reason to think, I can get away with this, which he did. This gave them strength to do even worse. Davara. To come not only with davar ma, not only something bad or bitter, but now something actually bad and destructive. I can do this. Amos Chacham tells us they continue to strengthen and to improve their methodology to do something bad. Yisapo, they tell. To whom? To whom? Who's speaking? No, they plot, they speak, they test the waters, and they advise with each other. Litmon mokshim. How can we hide some traps? How can we lay some mines? A mokesh in modern Hebrew is literally a mine where you step on it and you blow off your leg, right? But a mokesh is if I can entrap you, I will lay down a plot to entrap you so that you would then come out looking guilty. Amru, they said, these plotters, Meir Elamo, who will see us? We've got nothing to fear. We're doing this secretly. Nobody knows where it's coming from. We will lay the seeds of hatred. This will work. What do we need to do to lay the seeds of hatred? Yechapsu olot. The olot here does not mean an olah, such as a korban. Olot comes from the word avlot. Let's go search for criminal activity. What should we say? How do we do this? Oh, you know that guy Epstein? That sounds like a Jewish name, isn't it? Yeah. Maxwell? You know her? Her father was Jewish too. Did you know what his connection was? He was one of the supporters of Israel. Now you know what they really are. You see, we will come up with all kinds of things and besmirch everybody else with it. Yechapsu olot. They look for criminal activity, things by which they can now go and malign everybody else. Tamnu, chetfes mechupas. Strange word. Tachboset in modern Hebrew is a disguise. Tamnu, well, now depends on which pirush you're talking about. Radaf argues that this tamnu with a tat is the same thing as the word tamnu with a tet, like the word litmon. We are looking for hidden. Chepes mechupas is the hidden intentions. Ah, the Jews are intending to take over the world. Did you read the protocols of the elders of Zion? That's what's really going on. Did you hear what some of the leaders in Argentina said? Find me a Jewish poor man. They're the ones that are controlling finance in the banks. Use the success of the Jews to prove that they must be criminals, you see. And we've unmasked their disguises. We now know Kerev Ish v'Lev Amok. We know what's deep inside that person, what's hidden deep in his heart. And this, according to some, is what they amru. That's what they say. This is the conspiracy theorists that are going out there and using a little touch here, a little touch there, to malign and defame an entire people. Others argue that the word tamnu is not the same thing as litmon, to hide, but rather the word tam v'nishlam. It's finished. We finished finding, we have all the evidence we need. It's all in front of us. The real intentions. Whose real intentions? What they say or what the enemy's real intentions are? Ah, yes, we know what their intentions are, what's really inside there, what's really deep in their heart. And this is not being said by the enemy. This is what is said by David, who's saying that his enemies are looking for avlot, looking for crimes. They have stopped, completed their investigation and have exposed what's really inside them, what's really deep in their hearts. Vayorem Elokim. But God will shoot them. Ches pitom. A sudden arrow will come against them. Hayu makotam. They have become their own plagues. In other words, their own attempts to besmirch the innocent will come back to haunt them. Vayakshiluhu alemo lishonam. And their own tongue will force them to stumble, lead them astray. Yitnodedu kol ro'ebam. All who then will see them exposed for what they were trying to do. Yitnodedu. Yitnodedu means to shake from here to here. Ay, 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 like that. Or it means they will go wandering. They'll have to leave the stage because they've been exposed and found. Ve'yir'u kol adam. And all human beings will then finally see what was really happening behind the scenes. Ve'yagidu po'al Elokim. And all human beings will then be able to speak of what God had wrought, the comeuppance, umaasehu hiskilu, and they will come to understand and comprehend God's actions behind the scenes. This is an optimistic hope that all of these are going to get their comeuppance. And finally, and that's the prayer, yismach tzadik b'Hashem, and the righteous, those that were innocent, those that were targeted, will rejoice in the Ribono Shel Olam who saved them. And you'll see it's the first time that Hashem's name as Yudke Vavke appears, because up until now only Elohim, only Midas Sadin has shown up. V'chasabo, and he will find shelter in God. Vayit Hallelu, and they will praise themselves, saying, we were right, and we were shown that we were right. We were with God, and we will, and that is the source of our pride. Kol Yishrei Lev, all those who remained honest, straight of heart, as opposed to crooked hearts. Those who looked like innocent, naive people. Those who would not respond in kind with violence. Those people ultimately will be vindicated and have reason to rejoice. All right, ladies, a short poem. Now I want to hear your comments and questions, so I'm going to stop the share, and I'll unmute you and you can all scream out together. Let's go. Zahava. Go ahead, Zahava.
Yes. So, ended on an optimistic note, because I was getting nightmares already, because everything sounds like history repeats itself, the age of Tanei Yaakov forever and ever, and these things are always going to happen to us in every generation, and it's very disturbing.
It's very disturbing that as Jews we have to live and say over and over again, V'hi she'amda la'avoteinu, she'bechol dor v'dor omdim aleinu l'chaloteinu, v'akadosh baruchu matzileinu me'adam. So now I want to point out to you a very interesting thing. Did you notice who it is that will actually see this and come to understand it? The word that's used is Adam. Adam does not refer to a Jew. Adam refers to all humanity. According to Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, history repeats itself with an intention to go in a spiral, not because we're going in the same circle, but hopefully going upward. Now, upward, but I will also say in a more narrow fashion, so that the purpose of our suffering, according to this perspective, the purpose of living through these events is not merely that we then nevertheless survive, but that in the process, perhaps good people can be redeemed and they can see. So we are recognizing that there is also amongst the goyim, Adam, Bnei Adam, what we call Chassidei Umot Ha'olam. And they will come to see. And today there are such people who stand by us. Sometimes they're not of our own. Sometimes our own have joined the camps of the enemy.
But you know, the whole idea of, that we are always a Tzair and a Zel, it's very hard to swallow.
Very, very hard to swallow. That's exactly the purpose of why we are going to be doing the Shiurim for the next 3 weeks in Bena Metzahim. Yeah. Any other questions or comments? Ladies, that was easy enough. Okay. That's it. Frida, you wanted to say something?
Zahava said what I wanted to say.
Okay. It's disheartening, isn't it?
Very,
it's kind of scary. We thought we had overcome this already. We thought we were beyond this, didn't we?
Yeah.
Our parents, you know, we thought that our parents were perhaps a little bit
did you want to ask
a little bit paranoid.
Yeah.
They told us, you know, never trust, you don't know, it'll happen again. Look behind your shadow, don't get too comfortable, don't feel too safe. I can share with you the following. When I started at the University of Denver as a young student, I was a student of philosophy and English literature. And my grandfather, living in Mea Shearim, was fluent in 7 languages and had read all the classics, European classics, English classics. And he read and wrote in the Queen's English, not speak the language, but he read and wrote it. And so Zayde writes me a letter asking me, am I experiencing any anti-Semitism on campus? He, who had left Poland in 1924, and I wrote him back, Zayde, this is the land of the free, the home of the brave. There is no anti-Semitism in America. Do you remember that movie? There are no cats in America. You know, Steven Spielberg's, it's like, hello, where are you? It's like, what are you thinking? And so my grandfather wrote me back a letter And he says, I too was once naive and thought like you did. And he writes me in the French about the fraternity of all humanity, about equality, about, you know, and he describes all of this. He's, you know, and then he shared with me that my Zayda, the Gilei Chosed, was once a member of a communist cell. A communist cell in the Stiebel, in Lodz, in the Gerer Stiebel. And he said to me, he says, and one time I went, and he writes it to me like this in Hebrew, but he writes it then in Yiddish. I went to the theater between Mincha and Mayriv. We snuck off to the theater, he says, with my comraden, with my comrades. He says, and there we went to see Merchant of Venice. And these comrades that spoke about equality, he says, when the character that was Shylock went up there, he said, and then he writes in Polish, he says, whispered under their breath, the dirty Jews, you see. He says, and so I ran out of the theater, he says, and I took the first droschke, didn't tell my parents, and rode directly to Ger. And I threw myself at the feet of the Ger Rebbe, who told me, off with you to Israel. He says, you are no longer naive to be trapped by the isms. Sadly, we have a whole generation that we Jews raised who are alienated by their parents, you see, not only from Yiddishkeit, but have this naive notion. I feel like taking the whole lot of those marchers, send them down to Venezuela to learn about what socialism really means. Those that haven't earned a buck marching and destroying, they haven't got an idea about what anybody has built. So why does every generation need to go through this? Because they don't remember history and they have no sense of historicity. And we idiots have been supporting the universities that have poisoned the minds of our own children. We did this in our own naivete, thinking, oh well, after 1945, it will never happen again. Yeah, so you know what? Every day when you go and say Chatanu Avinu, right? Alma Chatanu veAlma Avinu, for that, for giving, saving our children from the hard lessons of life.